My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That's right. The show goes on. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Justin D'Orazio is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show this evening. Got a jam-packed show for you here today. First of all, at my not my usual time slot here, usually on a couple hours later from 3 to 6:30, had some shakeups in the lineup. Technically, I am Dan Wilson filling in for Sean Bell, who filled in for Hunter Brody, who filled in for Elliot Shore Parks, who was alongside Devin Caney today, who was filling in for James Seltzer. So if you can wrap your mind around all of that here, I had plenty of schedule changes here at WIP today, but I'm happy to be with you. Happy to be with you here right just minutes after the clock hits midnight and we flip over into Sunday. And a lot in store for you. Again, you know, the Phillies extend their winning streak to 4 games. We're going to talk about that. We got a quarterback controversy here in Philadelphia, not about quarterback one. I think everyone's in agreement that Jalen Hurts is the guy, but we got a QB2 controversy we got to get into. For those who have not heard me on in this time slot before, I like to do a little segment called You Complaining. I'm going to get to that at 1:40 in the show. Coming up in the 2 a.m. hour, we'll talk to Ty Daubert from PhilliesNation.com and a whole lot more. But where I want to start today, where it feels like is only appropriate to start, and what the talk of the town is, I'll say, over the past couple of weeks, or the past couple of days, I should say, here on WIP, is, are the Phillies back? Are you buying what the Phillies are currently selling? Are you buying the fact that we have seen now 4 wins in a row? We have seen a different baseball team since Wednesday, since they had that meeting, since Rob Thompson called that meeting on Wednesday. It feels like we have seen, a different baseball team, a more resilient team, a more awake team. And what I will say right off the bat is that I think it has been a good week for Rob Thompson. I think for a guy who I think has made some questionable moves, to say the least. It wasn't his fault. I don't want to say questionable moves, to say the least, but decisions that I sometimes feel like he's a little stuck in his ways, you know, insisting that JT Realmuto isn't available to pinch hit late in a game where it clearly makes sense and you have Garrett Stubbs playing. Clearly has, his ways of putting together a lineup, whether it be with platoons or things of that nature. He's very stuck in his ways, and I thought there were times throughout this losing skid that he should have maybe deviated from that a little bit, and he didn't. But that's neither here nor there. I think he really makes his money, and managers really make their money in times like this, how he can rally the troops and bring guys together. And I think he's done that well this week. But having said all of that, and again, if you want to get in about how the Phillies been playing, 215-592-9494, I am here to say that I do not believe the Phillies are back just yet. I think we need to slow the roll. It's easy for us to forget. I think we were so desperate to see any sign of life, any sign of hope, that we are willing just to say, oh, they're back the second they win a couple of games in a row. And I want to know if you agree at 215-592-9494. The first reason I do not believe the Phillies are back, you know, just quite yet, and I'm not saying they can't get there soon, but why I don't believe the Phillies are back just yet is, for starters, it's the obvious, but I need to say it right off the top. Four games, just a little too small for my liking. Too small of a sample size to look at four games to say this team as of Tuesday hit what really felt like rock bottom. I mean, as rock bottom as a first place team can hit. I mean, you're coming off a game where they are playing the Marlins. It was only a two-game series with the Marlins. And a game where they're hitting against like a no-name pitcher for a team who completely sold anyone at the trade deadline. And this team looked lifeless, like completely, completely lifeless on Tuesday night. They lose 5-0. It was, if you bought a ticket to that game, if you sat through that game, like, I'm sorry, it was like a total waste of time. There was zero entertaining moments from Tuesday night's Phillies game. And I can't just forget that. I can't forget how they played in Arizona. I can't forget how they played in Seattle or against the Yankees or against the Guardians or like against the Twins or the Pirates or any other team they basically played since the second half. I know they won the series in L.A., and that was a big deal, but it felt like they very quickly undid that. I can't just forgive that away or forget that away because they come back the following night and respond to a team meeting against the Marlins and have now played well a couple of days in a row against the Nationals. Like, that's great. And tomorrow they have a chance to put together a nice little 5-1 homestand, and it'll look really, really good in terms of how they responded. But I'm not ready to say, I cannot say in my heart of hearts that this team is all the way back yet, that is just in the rearview mirror. I don't believe it is. I think four games is too small. I think we have seen them show flashes of this before. I think we saw a flash like this in the Dodgers series. I think we saw a flash like this when they swept the Dodgers the first time, when the reality is they had already been struggling for a few weeks before that, and we weren't willing to accept it. If the Phillies lose tomorrow, or let's say they even win tomorrow, and they go to Atlanta and lose 2 or 3, and they go to Kansas City and lose 2 or 3, and then they, you know, come back after that. I forget who they have off the top of my head. They come back against the Astros and the Braves, and they don't, you know, do especially well in that homestand. Are we going to be like, well, they came back for 4 days against the Marlins and Nationals? Like, no, like, you should beat up on the Marlins and Nationals. They just split a two-game series with the Marlins, and they've won at least 3 or 4 from Washington. I can't get behind that as if they're all the way back. I can't forget how I felt just three, four days ago, and say that this team is all the way back. And I want to know if you agree at 215-592-9494. Go do it on the road versus some real teams. Like, go play the Braves. Go play, not the Royals or anything good, but like go play the Royals. Go do it against other teams. Do it for a longer period of time here. Go do it against the Astros when you come back to Citizens Bank Park. Go do it against the Braves again when you come back to Citizens Bank Park. I need to see it for a little bit longer. And that's my second reason here tonight. I need to see it against some real teams. It's great that they beat the Marlins. It's great that they beat the Nationals. Neither one of them or anything or any team even close to them will this team see in October. This team is going to face significantly tougher pitching in October. This team is going to face significantly tougher hitting. The pitchers will in October. This team will be punished for their mistakes in October. I know it ended well, and yes, it shows resiliency, but on Friday night, Carlos Estevez still blew a save, and they were able to win it in the bottom of the ninth inning. If they're playing a better team, that's probably a loss. I can't just undo the fact that they tried to give away a game. It was also not a great night for the offense, only putting 2 runs on the board. I know they won that game, and you're going to have to win like games like that over the course of a major league season. I can't get behind it. I can't say that I have seen enough again, on this four-game stretch to say they're back. I need to go see them do it on the road. I need to go see them do it on the road versus real teams. I need them to come back home. And this following homestand against Astros and Braves is going to be significantly tougher than the homestand they currently have. I need to go see them do it against some real teams and do it for a little bit longer than just half a week. I want to know if you agree at 215-592-9494. And that's the last thing I have, is I kind of alluded to it in my first two talking points there. I emotionally cannot turn the page from what we saw basically since the All-Star break. We're talking about a team with the second worst record in all of Major League Baseball following the All-Star break for like pretty close to a month. And the only team worse is the White Sox, who are going to set modern day records, or come close to it anyway, for the worst team in Major League history. Like, that's how bad we're talking the Phillies were. And I know they're still in first place, and I can't believe it either, frankly. I know that teams like the Braves and the Mets, and now they have a game and a half lead on the entire National League. Even the Dodgers, like, didn't really make them pay for losing six series in a row. And especially when they went out to Dodger Stadium, the Dodgers were the only team who seemed like they couldn't take advantage of the Phillies during that losing skid. I can't undo losses to series losses to the Pirates, Twins, Guardians, Yankees, Mariners, 1-1 against the Dodgers, an abysmal series against the Diamondbacks, and maybe the worst game of the Phillies season on Tuesday against the Marlins. I can't undo all of that just because they came back on Wednesday. Schwarber hits a grand slam. They rout the Nationals on Thursday. Yes, Weston Wilson hits for the cycle. It was great. They blow a game on Friday night and they get away with one. And then on Saturday, they come back, string some hits together in the sixth inning, and that was enough for them to win. And Christopher Sanchez, yes, looked great. And I thought that was really, really big that he bounced back. Can I really say that I think this team has completely turned the page? Can I really say that this is a large enough sample size, or against opponents who are good enough, to say that this team is back, that this team has turned the page, that they're fully back to what they were in the early days of the season when they were really distancing themselves from the rest of the National League East and the rest of the National League? Like, no, I can't. I'd be kidding myself if I was. And I think it's telling how much people are the number of people listening to the station who have called in over the last 24 to 48 hours, fans on social media, et cetera, who are ready to say this team is back. It just goes to show you how bad the last month was, that the fact that they string together a good half week in a row, and it's like, oh, we're sold. Like, that is literally all this fan base needed to see. We had almost nothing to celebrate for any sustained period of time in a really, really long time. It's like that we forgot, it had been a month since the All-Star break, and we forgot what it was like to string a couple of wins together, to tie one series and manhandle another team in one particular series. And again, a team they're supposed to do this to. A team in the Nationals who they are supposed to do this to. I can't get behind it. I'm not sold. I can't turn the page. Maybe I'm just pouring, you know, water on everyone's fun. Maybe I'm being negative Nancy. However you want to frame it, I cannot get behind the fact that this team is back. I'm not ready to say this team is back. I have not seen enough. I think it could very easily go south once again. I need to see more. Go in the Braves series and we'll talk. That's where I'm at. I want to know where everyone else is at. At 215-592-9494. Justin D'Orazio producing me tonight. Justin, where do you stand? Obviously, huge Phillies fan. Phillies have won four in a row. We have seen the way they've played since the All-Star break for six, seven series in a row. They've now strung together the first winning streak in some time. Where are you at?
Just because you won four in a row doesn't mean you're back, and it also doesn't mean that you're one of the best teams in baseball. You're beating up on the bottom feeders, which is something you absolutely have to do, but it doesn't mean you're back. And like you said, I'm not convinced, and I won't be convinced until we at least take 2 of 3 from the Braves, 2 of 3 from the Royals, and 2 of 3 from the Astros. I need to see sustained success against successful teams, especially teams like the Astros, who are on fire right now. A team that you have history against, with both the Astros and the Braves. I want to see how they react in those situations, because it seems like when they played the Dodgers that they kind of stepped it up a little notch, because they knew that the Dodgers are potentially someone that they could see in the postseason. And I want to see them do the same against the Braves. You know, I'm tired of losing against the Braves in the regular season and then beating up on them in the postseason. I want to beat up on them year-round.
Now, flip side of what you just said, I do want to beat up on them year-round. I agree with that. Flip side of what you just said of them waking up for the Dodgers, there's a team who was also hot, who they lost to last year in the Diamondbacks, who they just laid down when they went there. Yeah, I mean, that was embarrassing.
Completely embarrassing. It looks like they, you know, it just looks like they know that they got the better of them and they couldn't turn it around. It did look a bit embarrassing. It looked like Garrett Stubbs was swimming in the pool.
Yeah, well, and he wanted to be swimming in the pool last October. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Where are you at on the Phillies? I want to pulse check. I believe they're now 73-50. I believe last night was officially the 75% mark of the season. We're three quarters of the way there, which I frankly can't believe that we're already three quarters of the way there. Like, just how fast this baseball season feels like it's moved. I mean, in some regards, the early part of the season feels like it was a while ago because of how many different fragments it feels like this Philly season in particular has been broken up into. But also, opening day doesn't feel like it was that long ago. It doesn't feel like that long ago that they were in the early days of April and May, and now we're 123 games into this thing, and there's not that many series left. There's not that many. I've been counting down the magic number since May, and the magic number has gotten down to 32 tonight. It's actually been pretty funny to see some of the replies and quotes on it, because I've been doing it every night when they win and, you know, when the Braves lose, or there was one day there where the Mets stepped up in the second place, so when they lose, and seeing people like quote it, and now it feels like it's not me just doing a dumb bit. It's like counting down the magic numbers, like a thing that normal fans do at this point. We've gotten to the point where people are actually, you know, really starting to sniff the finish line, see the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, there's a lot of baseball left, and there's plenty of work to still be done here. But again, like, go do it against the Braves next week. If they have a bad series against Atlanta, and then they kind of no-show against the Royals, and they have a bad homestand coming back, no one's going to care that you took three or four or even swept the Nationals. Like, no one's going to look back on this and care that you played well for these few days in a row. Now, I will say it's been nice to see a few things. Number one, that they respond to Rob Thompson's message on Wednesday, because that says to me that his voice in that clubhouse has not gone stale. And I think that is important and something, frankly, you worry about when things are going poorly for the better part of 2 months, frankly, but really, really bad for a month since the All-Star break. And on top of that, it was really nice to see Christopher Sanchez respond the way that he did. And frankly, the fact that he was as, if you missed it, by the way, Phillies won 5-1 on Saturday night over the Nationals. If you missed Christopher Sanchez's outing, he goes complete game. He's now tied with two other pitchers, and I forget who I don't have them jotted down here. Fransky in L.A. said it during the broadcast. A prepared host would have known who that was. He is now tied with two other pitchers in Major League Baseball this year for most complete games in the era where we just frankly don't see complete games anymore. And he does it in less than 100 pitches. He was brilliant. He got a lot of ground balls early in counts. He got a lot of strikeouts that didn't run deep counts. Like, he was excellent. This game didn't end up starting until 6:35. It was over by 9 o'clock. Christopher Sanchez put on a clinic. It was one of the fastest, most efficient, cleanest games I'd ever seen. And so the fact that he responded from his bad start in Arizona, and the fact that we had seen a situation with, again, the team had hit like rock bottom, and Rob Thompson seems to deliver a message about a closed door team meeting, but you can imagine what was said, like, hey, we got to get our you know what together. It's nice to see that the team responded to that, and it's nice to see that this team still has a pulse and that they're not still totally screwed. Because if they had come back and lost three of the next four after that, you wonder if Rob Thompson's message is still running stale. If Christopher Sanchez doesn't respond the way he does tonight, albeit against the Washington Nationals, you wonder if maybe there's a little bit of fatigue setting in. So those were things that I thought were good to see. But overall, I need to see it for more than four games. I need to see it against real teams. And I have not forgotten how they played for a month and really the better part of 2 months. You know, when we talk about the sample size of how poorly they had been playing, I think it's easy to forget that they were bad for pretty much as long as they were really, really good. And when I say bad, I mean below 500. Like, that's a large sample size. It wasn't just a 2 to 3 week stretch like most really, really good teams go through. And that's what just was so concerning. Concerning to me, and I can't undo it with 4 days of good play. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Let's open it up on the phones with Harold in Seattle. It's on Sports Radio 94 WIP. What's up, Harold?
Hey, hi. Hey, look, right now, if I had to bet money, I would bet on the right now in this snapshot. Braves are a better team than the Phillies because I think they played six games. Is that right? And they've beaten 4 out of 6, which is close to 70%. So they need to sweep the Braves so they could just be equal with them.
So you think when you say the Braves are better, you think they're going to win the NL East?
No, no. What I'm saying is right now, since the Braves beat them 4 out of 6 times, you know, just using logic, I would have to bet on the Braves. And they, when do they play the Braves?
Well, they play them next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in Atlanta, and then they play them Friday, August 30th, Saturday, August 31st, and Sunday, September 1st. It's Labor Day weekend at home. And that wraps up the season series.
Okay. They need to at least get even with them. And they need to sweep the next two games. If I had to bet money, $100, on this series coming up, I would bet on the Braves. And I'm listening to the rest of your great show.
Well, hold on. So just really quick, just to use your logic, the Pirates won the season series with the Phillies. Does that mean the Pirates are a better team than the Phillies?
Yes. No, it's just hard to explain, but I'm not talking about the Pirates. I'm talking about the Phillies and the Braves.
No, I know, but you said that the Braves are a better team than the Phillies because they've won 4 out of 6 against them head-to-head. So you're using what they've done against the Phillies head-to-head instead of their overall record.
Right.
Okay.
No. The Braves have a good team. They have a real good team, and the Pirates don't.
Okay, so why are the Braves better than the Phillies? I said that I don't think the Phillies are quote-unquote back. I don't think the Braves are better than them just because they've beaten them 4 out of 6 times head-to-head when the Phillies have 9 or 8.5 games up on them.
If I got in a fight with somebody and they beat me 4 out of 6 times and that person got in a fight with somebody else and lost, a person of lesser ability, just because that person that beat me 6 times is better than me 4 out of 6 times. I don't care who he fight and how many times they beat him, he's better than me. It's just like football. Certain teams beat certain teams no matter how bad they are. Washington always gives Philadelphia trouble.
I hear you, Harold, and I appreciate the call. I can't get on board that the Braves are better than the Phillies because they have the head-to-head with them right now because, again, the Pirates have the head-to-head with the Phillies, and the Pirates have 58 wins or in last place. Like, the Phillies have had a better season than the Braves. The Braves are without Ronald Acuna. The Braves are without Spencer Strider. I understand what Harold's trying to say. I don't necessarily agree with it. But overall, I think the Phillies are fortunate, you know, very fortunate that after all of this, after having this, again, the second worst record since the All-Star break to only the White Sox, to still come out of this, win 4 games in a row, and to look up and be 8.5 games leading the division. Like, you know, I know people got really mad at Joe Giglio when he said the division was over months ago, but I would frankly be stunned at this point if the Phillies don't win the National League East. I would be stunned if they don't have a bye. Even if they tread water and play 500 the rest of the way, it feels like they'll still get there. So that's where I'm at with that. As far as are they back to winning ways, I'm talking about what they're going to look like in a playoff series against the Braves in a 5-game set. Like, that is scary to me. The Phillies have picked them off. The Braves, by the way, were a much better team in the regular season than the Phillies each of the last 2 seasons, and the Phillies beat them in the playoffs both times. Does that mean the Phillies were a better team? In my opinion, no. It means they were a better team in that given week, And that's what scares me so much. That's what I can't turn the page on. I can't just ignore the flaws that we saw so prevalent and show up so many times, time and time again. And you saw them on Friday night when Estevez blew that save. I can't get past that. I can't say that I'm confident about this team entering the playoffs if the playoffs were to start tomorrow, just because they've won four games here against the Marlins and Nationals. I can't do it. I want to know where people stand at 215-592-9494. Now, on the other side, the Phillies made a roster move on Saturday that has implications for this Braves series. I found it to be very, very interesting. And if they follow through with it the way that I think, if this roster move tells me that they're going to do something that they have not done all season long, the Phillies have not done all season long. What is it, and why did I find it so interesting? I will tell you that on the other side. You are listening to Dan Wilson. Justin D'Orazio is producing, taking you up till 3 a.m. tonight. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.